I'm not above making mistakes. It's good to be back. I came up last Sunday, and my brother was in the hospital, and he passed Monday morning about 4:20, and we've had the funeral this week. We've had the time of blessing as well as a time of sorrow. We've had times of joy as well as times of weeping. But that is as much a part of life as being born. It is appointed unto man once to die. So we know that's coming. I want to, Lord willing, today try to bring a message on the revelation of Jesus Christ. I believe that for any person to be saved, Christ has to be revealed to their heart. Who He is, what He has done, His death, His burial, His resurrection, and His being at the right hand of the Father on high as our mediator for the rest of our lives. Now, there was a time when Matthew 16, if you want to look there, we'll take a few verses from there. Matthew 16, there was a time when Christ asked the disciples, "Who do you say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Now, He identified who He was, but He said, "Who do you say I am?" And then they said, "Well, some say you're this and that," and we'll get to that in our reading here. I've got to look back and see just where I want to start. And they said in verse 14, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, Elias, and others, Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. But he said unto them, But whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." If you ever expect to enter into the blessings of the Lord's salvation, that you have to know. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Without that knowledge, you are still dead in your sins, separated from God, and facing the white throne judgment to be cast into hell. Now, Peter says, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." I'm sure that Brother John has preached to people for quite a long time, and it seemed like water on a duck. Seemed as though it took no effect. I know that I have seen that in my ministry and everywhere I've pastored. I know that until God begins a work in your heart to open it, to understand who Christ is, you will not come to Him. You will not believe because you're not able. And when Christ told Peter, "Flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee," I recall a time that I was called down to King's Daughters Hospital, visit a lady, And when I walked in, she told me, she said, "Bob, I have done everything that everybody that has come in here has told me to do." She said, "I'm unsaved, and I know it." And she said, "I've had people come in and tell me to pray and pray and pray, and tell me to believe and to believe and believe." And she said, "I've tried to do everything that everybody has said." And I said, "Well, let me just take God's Word and read some passages for you and have prayer with you, and then I'm going to leave it to whether God reveals it to your heart." Her daughter called me the next day and said, "Mom needs to talk to you." And when I walked in, she had these words to say: "Thank you for telling me the truth. Christ has been revealed to me. I'm saved." Now, if Christ is a decision you made somewhere in life, I've always said if you could make a decision, you can change your mind. We see that in every phase of life. But it's not a decision of the mind and the head and the intellect of man that brings about salvation. It is the hearing of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the revelation of that gospel by the Holy Spirit of God to your heart. Flesh and blood hath not revealed this to you. You can talk to people till you turn blue in the face and they're ready to fight you. But that doesn't do any good toward bringing them to salvation until the Spirit of God enters into their heart. And when He does, I promise you, He'll finish the work that He begins. He'll finish the work. I want you to turn over with me to the book of Romans, chapter 1. And I want you to... I've got a little cold today. I came up here and I had little sinus problems from the plane, and it's just gradually gotten worse and worse and worse. And I've coughed quite a bit, and my eyes are watering, but we'll get through this, and we hope that God will bless you with the hearing of this word. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul says to us in verse 16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." Not ashamed. Some people don't want to mention it. Some people don't want to talk about it. But Paul, as a minister of Christ, says, "I'm not ashamed." Now, it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. What brings the power of God? What is the power of God that speaks to the heart about salvation? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The news that Christ took our sin in His own body on the cross. That the suffering was for our sin. I'll come back here to Romans in a moment, but I want to go over to to Corinthians for just a minute. I believe it's 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and the end of that chapter. My Bible is a little hard to keep up with turning. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. I didn't make a lot of notes this morning, so I'm turning back and forth. Now, look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled or brought to peace with God. Now, look at this next verse. For he, God, hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. That's what the gospel is about. That God made Christ to be sin. God put his Son on the cross. Christ said of his own self, I lay my life down, but I'll take it up again. He is died, buried, and raised again for the purpose of saving our souls. Without this, there is no salvation. Without this, there is no hope. There is no way for a person to face God without judgment except the righteousness of Christ is given to him freely through the gospel. Now, there in Romans, again, chapter 1, I want to read the rest of those verses for us. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. It's to the Jew first. It's also to the Greek. Now, look what the gospel is. Therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That's where the revelation is. That's where the understanding of being saved comes from. In the gospel of Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed to men's hearts. It's from faith to faith. In other words, it's complete. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. It's from faith to faith. It is complete. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Now, somebody says, I don't want any part of this gospel. The next verse is for your application. Because he says, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The wrath of God is revealed against those to whom Christ is not revealed as the Savior of their soul. The revelation of salvation. I like, in fact, I started to go to Revelation chapter 1 first this morning, but let's go over to Revelation chapter 1 and look at a passage of Scripture right there. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 1. This book, Revelation, is the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. I was given a complete set of Bible study books back years ago. Most of them had never been opened. But when I opened them, I took the one on Revelation, opened it up, and it read in its explanation, the revelation of St. John the Divine. Close the thing back up. Lee said, what are you going to do with those? gas. I'm going to burn them. I'm going to burn them. She said, well, they're good books. You can give them to somebody else. No, they're not any good books. It doesn't, they say that it doesn't reveal Christ. If you don't teach a living, real Christ revealed to your heart as the Son of God who died for you, then you don't really have the gospel and you don't have the truth. And this book says you shall know the truth and the truth shall make you free. Look down to verse 5. From this book, Revelation, is written from Christ, he says, and from Christ, who is the faithful witness. Here's some attributes of our Savior. The faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. This is not talking about the modern view of salvation. I hear so much today of this health and wealth gospel and you doing the best you can. I was watching a program on TV a few months ago called Wretched. I don't know whether you've ever seen it or not. It's on the religious channels. And I believe it's on every night. I see it quite often. This preacher went out onto the street and interviewed people and said, if you died today, would you go to heaven? Oh, yes. Why? Why would God take you into heaven? And out of all the people that he interviewed, there was not one said, because Christ died for me. Not one. I'm not that bad a person. I haven't killed anybody. I haven't stolen. I'm not a thief. I think I'm better than average. Yet by the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Only by faith of Jesus Christ. See, we've come in this day and age to believe that whatever you believe is okay. Whatever you think is okay. That if you feel good about it, it's okay. That's not so. The truth shall make you free. A revealed Son of God. Now I want to go back over to the 10th chapter of the book of John for just a little bit, and I'm not going to be long-winded this morning. Sometimes I get a little long-winded, but I'm not going to be. Kevin told him out at Big Creek when I came out there. He said, if he pulls out notes, you'd better pack a lunch. So, and I pulled out notes, and he said about an hour and 15 minutes or so later, I quit. But in the 10th chapter of the book of John, there are some words, they're very familiar words to this church, I know. And they're very familiar words to God's people. But a lot of people just don't see these. Christ says, beginning with verse 25, Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you believed not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. How do I know that Christ is true? How do I know that this message of the gospel is true? The works that Christ did while he was on this earth revealed that he was the Son of God and that God was his Father. Now, he said, to them in verse 26, but you believe not, because you're not my sheep. You believe not because you're not my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice. Christ, if this is not revealed, it's revealed through the preaching of the gospel. But salvation is revealed in the person of Jesus Christ, making himself known to you by the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I know whom I have believed. I know him. I know the person. Most of us know what we believe, but do you know who you believe? Do you know who is going to take you into heaven or judge you in your sin? Do you know him? That's the question. It doesn't make any difference whether we like it or whether we don't. It's the person who will either redeem us or judge us at the white throne judgment. And he is a revealed Christ. The works that he did said he was the Son of God. God said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, at his baptism. So God put his stamp of approval on it. Paul said, I know him. I know whom I believe. Then what about you? Do you know who? Oh, most of us sovereign grace people can say, I know what I believe, and I'm ready to fight you over it. But do you know who you believe that has made you acceptable before the Father? Now see, you have no righteousness. The righteousness of man is as filthy rags in the sight of God. You don't have anything to present you to God. If you want to know how your pedigree stands in this world, read Ephesians chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. When you read verse 1, it says you were dead in trespasses and sins. And then it tells you all of the conditions of being dead. But verse 4 says, and these are the most precious words I think you'll find in the Word of God, but God. You can study it from cover to cover. I looked and just looking up, how many times? But God. But God. But God loved us with an everlasting love. And he redeemed us in Christ. Now, my sheep hear my voice, Christ said. That's in verse 27. I know them. They follow me. You don't follow one that you don't know. And if you go back over to the study the first of this chapter, in verse 3, he says, in the last part of that verse, he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. When he reveals himself to you, he calls you by name. I know why he calls you by name, because your name is written in the book of life. There are no eraser marks in that book. There have been no changes in it from before the foundation of the world. Our God knew all things before the world. But I can tell you this, there are a lot of things I don't know, and there's a lot of things you don't know. But one thing you can be certain of is that Christ saves us from our sin. That's the one thing you can be certain of. Now, I know my sheep, they follow me. Verse 28 says, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any," and the word man is in italics, so just leave it out, "neither shall any pluck them out of my hand." Now, I find in this next verse, I think, a sad rendition of what it really says. Because he says, "My Father," which gave, and the King James says, "them me." Leave the "them" out. It's in italics. "My Father, which gave me." God didn't give us Christ. He gave us to Christ. God sent His Son, and God gave Him for us. He didn't give Him to us. He gave Him for us. "My Father, which gave me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck out of my Father's hand." See, when you get this kind of a revelation and understanding of Jesus Christ, you've got a salvation that you can rest in. You've got a salvation that you can talk to God about. You can pray in. I don't see how some people who, with this health and wealth gospel, have any way of praying. They don't have a God other than themselves. And that's a sad thing. I can tell you today, there is only one name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. And that's a revealed name and a revealed truth that comes from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it does bring forth fruit. It does bring forth fruit. I heard somebody say, after a preacher had given about a 20-minute invitation trying to beg people to make a decision, he said, "If you can keep from coming," and I thought this was pretty wise, "if you could keep from coming and confessing Christ, then you don't confess Him. If He's not alive and real and revealed in your heart, then He's not your Savior. And if He is, then you confess Him before the world and say, 'Yes, He's mine. He saved me. He's my Lord and He's my Christ.' I pray today that you know Him, whom to know rightly is eternal life." To know Him rightly, you're already alive eternal. My brother passed this week. I said, we were standing there, and I was talking with his children. I said, "To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord when you know Christ." See, had a sister-in-law died a few years ago. She told them the next day, she said, "The angels came for me last night." And I thought about that. I thought, is that right? And then I remembered Lazarus was carried by the angels to Abraham's bosom. But the angels came, escorted him into heaven. But I also found something else right there in that passage of Scripture, which said the rich man died, and in hell he lift up his eyes. See, there's no two ways into heaven. You're in Christ or you're without Christ. And if you're without Christ, you still face judgment. I pray today that you know Him. Know Him rightly. Know Him as God's Son, and know Him as your Redeemer and your Savior. Let's look to our Lord in prayer as we close.